Recently, following a funeral service in a nearby funeral home, I read from Psalm 23 from the Message translation. And a person came to me afterwards, a gentleman, and he said, by the way, I love that translation of Psalm 23. Beautiful, beautiful. Where can I get that Bible? And I told him, and he said, maybe I'll come back to church sometime. To me, that says so much. Psalm 23. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. And even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life, and I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And then from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, first 10 verses, it has to do with lost and found. Could it be that one of us maybe lost something that used to be very precious to us? Could it be that we could find it in worship today? So much happens when we listen and when we come aware of God's presence. It's not a matter that God comes every now and then and visits us for a few seconds. God is there. We just need to open ourselves up. Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. And their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? And when found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing, and when you got home, call your friends and neighbors, saying, celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Here ends our morning scripture readings. May it be that between the lines we would discover a still speaking God speaking to you and to me this very morning. My friends, this happens from time to time. A certain rich man lost his dog, and that's a serious matter. Even in our times, it was his darling little dachshund called, I had to give it a name because I didn't want to. I'm going to call it Scruffy. So this rich man lost his darling little Scruffy. And he was so very upset and he immediately start searching all over. And he looked and looked but couldn't find Scruffy. Therefore he took the next logical step and placed a newspaper ad offering a reward for anyone who could find his little dog. And nothing happened. And day after day, he placed a new ad and with a little bit higher reward. And finally, in desperation, he offered $1,000 if anyone could find his little dachshund, Scruffy. Still no replies. Nothing. So finally, he stopped by the newspaper office and he asked to see the editor. "I'm sorry, sir, he's not in," the office boy replied. "Now, what about your advertising manager?" "Sorry, sir, he's out too." "Good grief, are they all gone?" "Oh, yes, sir, they're all out looking for your Scruffy." Well, this may be just a story, but one thing is for sure. If Scruffy ever got back home, it was because many motivated people were looking for it. It was because the owner would do anything and could not rest without searching for it. Oh. Did you discover the gospel of Jesus Christ in this little illustration? A winsome picture of a God who loves us, will not let us go, searching for his little Scruffy, somewhere lost on this big old earth of ours. Oh yes, you guessed it. Jesus told this story with a definite goal in mind. We know that he deeply cared for and had compassion for the lost, the lonely, the suffering. We know that he reached out to the underdogs of society. And that's why we love to sing, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need your tender care. In your pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, your folds prepare." Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have bought us. Yours we are. It's just a story. No, no. Hear the gospel of redemption. Hear the invitation of awaiting God. It is so close to the heart of the message of Jesus. We call him the good shepherd. And a true shepherd he is. And we know that is the very nature of God revealed to us in Scripture. He yearns for all not to be lost anymore, to be safe, cared for, loved for, as part of his flock. So, woven into both the stories that Jesus told, a shepherd looking for his lost sheep, and a woman who lost her precious coin, there is mention of the joy of the retrieval, the recovering, getting your rightful property back. Just imagine God rejoicing in your and my homecoming. Bible says there's joy in heaven if one sinner finds the way home, back again. And if that's not the deepest purpose of our calling, a great reason why we came this morning, then we have misunderstood the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then comes the challenge. Jesus tells a story. He invites, celebrate with me. And then comes the question, reverberating to us through the centuries, coming to us this very morning. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? Now, I don't know about you, but the gospel still scares me. Almost a half a century, it was my great privilege to stand on a pulpit here or somewhere else in the world. And I have never lost my respect and my fear. Yes, my fear for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Suppose one of you have 100 and you lose one. Wouldn't you go after the one? Makes me restless. Makes me uncomfortable. What do we do? People who have drifted away from God, who have abandoned their faith and lost connection with their church, surround us. Does it have anything with you to do with you or me? Can you say, well, I'm safe in church this morning. It's none of my business. If you say so, then you miss the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somehow, we read between the lines that God wants us to be like that man who lost his scruffy and couldn't rest. Couldn't rest before he found him back. Now, if that's the story about the little dog, how much more would it be if it was your own child? What do we do? Now, if you read the Gospels, you'll see that this was a primary focus of the earthly life of Jesus Christ. Searching for the sheep that have lost contact with the shepherd. And much later, this message also became the foundation of the early church. Rather than gathering behind closed doors, a fear of the outside world, the Spirit of God touched the lives of men and women and sent them out in all wind directions, searching. Until they found, 2,000 years later, I say with all the conviction of my heart, the church has lost its primary focus when it fails to search for those who are outside its fellowship. In far too many churches, all the energy and all the focus has been on the members safely inside the church. And in the process, many of us have forgotten those still outside the fold. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus is telling us that our focus should be on the searching for the lost sheep. And that does not mean that we will be neglecting the 99. Never. We would encourage each other. We would start new, seek new ways and make new efforts to get the message that saved us, that brought us home, out to others who are still lost in darkness, many of them in dangerous darkness. The Bible says even if there is one lost sheep out there, the shepherd will not rest. But There's also another side to this. As we all know and fully expect, the lost sheep are not only outside the church. There are many sincere seekers on the inside as well. That's another thing that's been scaring me through the years. People may just walk in unexpectedly, saying, I'm going to worship with you guys this morning. And afterwards walk out and say, what a waste. There was nice cake and tea, but no sign of Christ. Nobody even mentioned. Pastor probably got paid for it. So he did. But no further mention. Church membership has no saving power in itself. It is still possible to be lost, to be alone, to be broken and burdened with sin and shame, without a shepherd, even while sitting comfortably in a church. One of our country's foremost theological preachers, Fred Craddock, I loved it many years ago. I had the privilege to attend a course, a series of lectures that he gave for a full week long, just talking about the responsibility and the joy of preaching. And he told us a story that he said was the truth about a church that he served in his early years. And that particular church, he said, formed a committee of volunteers that decided to do something about the true mission of their church. So full of enthusiasm, they shared their plans with the congregation, say, this is what we need to do, this is what we should do, but they only got a very mixed reaction. One of the elders said, before we go after new members, we should try to win back members already on our rolls that is not coming anymore. I once said, quite frankly, I like the church the way it is right now. If you bring too many new people in, I'm going elsewhere. Someone summed it up this way. After all, who wants strangers in our church? Shouldn't we just stick to our own? These are not made up. These things happen. I've heard them said with conviction through the years of my own ministry. Well, the committee's report went back to the church council. So somehow it passed, this decision to become a church searching for those outside. There was a vote, and they won the vote, formally accepted, approved, and filed. And no one spoke of it ever again. It's amazing. If you keep record of things you've written through the years, I certainly do. And sometimes I look back over 10 years in this beautiful, beloved Cocoa Beach. Just to check, you can search so quickly. How many times have you said this, been on that topic, spoke with the church council, made an appeal, made a plea? Well, first of all, let us say thank you, God, for all the positive responses. We wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't have so many loving, caring people who love this church with all their heart. And they are showing it in so many different ways. One of the most exceptional churches I've ever served in my life. I believe doing God's will. Oh, I have bragging rights on this church. And I tell people when I go out there. But when they ask me, what have you done to the lost and the lonely? to those whom you have lost. I have to tell them for the past 2 years we couldn't find a single volunteer to fill that vacancy in our midst. Not one. That's scary. Craddock says, no one ever spoke of it again. And he says, oh yes, that beautiful little church still stands, but it's no longer a church. When the church died, an innovative business person bought and changed the pretty church into a huge restaurant. Customers were sought, invited, and welcomed from everywhere. Huge signs out on the little church. Craddock says, and that business is still thriving today. Let it never happen. At 126 South Atlantic Avenue. Oh God, even through difficult times, take us in your mighty hands and see us through. In times of economic brokenness around us, in difficult times, while other people are saying the wheels are coming off so many churches, be with us. Guide us. Hold us. Your church for almost 70 years in this place. And go with us. Pave the road. Where you lead, we will follow. Some time ago, I conducted a wedding nearby on the beach. And afterwards, one of the wedding guests told me that he stopped going to church many years ago. He told me that somehow his faith fell by the wayside. And there on the beach, just close to the church here, he spoke of the longing and the emptiness in his life. Now you can imagine, you would have done the same. If you had that type of discussion with somebody on the beach out there, you would do what I did. Of course, I invited him back. I said, well, there's our church. We would welcome you with open arms. Please come soon as you are ready. And I even remember the question that he asked. He said, are you sure that I will still be welcome there? You know what I answered. I said, of course, I know my people, my friend. We will be waiting for you. I felt good. Until Sunday came and the next, and I never saw him again. The invitation was not enough. It will always bother me. I did not ask for his name or phone number. I should have, did not. Jesus said, come to me, I will give you rest. That's my experience of the church. I pray it's also your experience. Come to me. If that man never found rest, who should I blame but myself? An old Scottish soldier who had fought many a war, far away from home, was sick and dying in one of our American hospitals. And the nurses loved him and they cared for him. His one desire was to see Scotland and his old home once again. He longed for walking in the heather of the Highlands, hearing the bagpipes of the Scottish regiments. And the night that the old soldier died, a kind nurse arranged for a Scottish bagpiper to come and play under the old soldier's window. And they say that the dying old man heard the sound And he called out, "What's that? What's that? Why? It's the regiment coming home. Listen, Scotland the Brave. That's the tune. Yes, that's the tune. Thank God I am home once more." Bonnie, Bonnie Scotland were his last words as he passed away. Homesick, far away from home. How many people homesick for God have you and I brought home? That's why Jesus said, "Celebrate with me. Celebrate with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." You and I can go out there playing the bagpipes of God's love, welcome, grace, and mercy for anyone longing to return to the house of God. And if a lost sheep is with us here this morning, friend, once again you've heard the bagpipes calling you home. Come sing with us, you are not alone. Many, many a weary traveler heard and recognized the tune. And this is how they respond: "Just as I am, thou tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaimed in our midst, once again, as if for the first time, this morning. Let us pray. Loving God, here we are, your children, gathered with others who seek the inspiration of worship, the sense of your presence, and to plead that your Spirit will guide, touch, and change us this very day. We are together in the beauty and quiet of this temporary sanctuary. We brought with us this morning our confusion, our loneliness in a busy world. We also brought our sense of guilt, seeking to overcome the distance that we allowed to come between you and us. We seek you with all our heart. Let your forgiveness, wisdom, and the power of your Holy Spirit fill our often so empty lives. O God, in and through Jesus Christ, we come this morning seeking restoration. We come seeking wholeness. We come to let go of our own desires and be only what you would have us become. Have mercy on us, each of us, as we seek to renew our covenant with you once again. We pray for this church of ours. O God, give us courage, strength, endurance. And we now pray for ourselves, that we might find you in the quietness this morning and follow you in faithfulness all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.